You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome back to the Cannon Cast, a Columbus Blue Jackets podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, PD. I'm the manager over at the Cannon at jacketscannon.com. So, still not really any news for the Jackets. I am really jonesing for hockey. It has been such a long off season. I don't know about you. I just feel like, you know, this is the first like normal schedule for the off season that we've had in 4 years. And so, you know, the draft being in late June, free agency July 1st. So we've got such a long time for the start of the season. But the good news is we are within a month of training camp starting, just a few weeks away from the Traverse City Prospects Tournament. So the light at the end of the tunnel is in view here. That's the good news. So to that end, today I'm going to be talking about prospects and specifically the top 25 under 25 ranking that we've been doing over at the Cannon. But before we get to that, I do want to let you know about a special offer this week only from our friends at Fan First Sports Network. They're doing a really, really cool giveaway. For any of you who are NFL fans, I know that probably plenty of our listeners are. Whatever your NFL loyalties are, whether you're here in Columbus, in Ohio, whether you're anywhere else in the U.S., we are giving away 4 tickets to any week 1 NFL game of your choosing. One lucky fan, one listener of any of the podcasts on our network is going to win 4 tickets to a week 1 NFL game. The Bengals are playing the Browns in Cleveland. So if you're a fan of either of those teams, that's going to be a big one. I'm sure there's probably some Steeler fans that listen to this. Gross, but I get it. Anyway, Steelers are at home in Pittsburgh against the 49ers. So if you're interested in any of those games, any other games that are happening week 1, all you have to do is go to contest.fansfirstsports.com answer your email, and that's it. Really can't be easier. You have to be a U.S. resident. You have to be 18 years of age. You can't work for us. But other than that, you're eligible. Just got to enter your email. Again, that is contest.fansfirstsports.com. I will also put that link in the description. You can click on that there. The deadline is you need to sign up before September 4th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern on September 4th. That is Labor Day. That is when they'll be having the drawing. So get your submission in there before then. Best of luck. I would love if one of my listeners won that. It's a really cool offer from Fans First Sports Network to grow their base, to reward their loyal listeners. Again, we appreciate everyone that's been listening to us. We've really enjoyed our partnership with them, so we're happy to be part of this there. So if you want to go to a week one NFL game, be sure to sign up there at that link below. So, as I said, at the Canon, we are doing our top 25 under 25 countdown. This is something that our listeners and our readers voted on. The writers voted on. We combined all those results into this ranking. So we are about two-thirds of the way through it here. On Tuesday, when you listen to this, number 11 should be posted. So it's been interesting to see how the voting shook out. And I feel like, you know, the real star prospects are all in the top 10. These are ones that have, you know, were either first round picks or they've got top line potential. But 11 through 25, you get guys that have very much high risk, high reward. You know, you got like late round picks that have like one really intriguing skill set, but maybe like they're too small or they're too slow, and that's why they fell late in the draft. Or you've got maybe former first or second round picks who just haven't reached their draft year potential, but are at least, you know, NHL caliber players, but maybe in a depth role player kind of position. So that's been kind of, there's sort of those two camps here for 11 through 25 in the ranking. So I wanted to go through by position here and look at maybe which of these players has the highest floor, as in who has the best chance of just being an NHLer, versus who has the highest ceiling. Like, which of these players, even if they're a late round pick, has potential to be a star player or a key contributor for the Jackets, whether, you know, this year or long term. I know that some people, when they're voting on this, they emphasize those who have already been in the NHL, a guy like Emil Bäckström, for example. Like, okay, he's been around. We know this guy, so he's going to be on there over someone who we don't know if he's going to even make it to the NHL. I, on the other hand, my philosophy personally is I tend to emphasize ceiling. You know, what is the, you know, highest possible role for this player, you know, within reason. So a guy that has like at least one elite skill set, I'm probably going to rank over a guy who is not great at any one thing, but is good at a few different things. So I like that emphasis, the star power, because I think ultimately, while you know, a team that wins does need these, you know, key role players to contribute in the bottom six, the more players you have that have elite star talent, that is going to be better off for you here. So we will start on the back end with the goalies. So among these 15 players, there were two goalies included. Number 11, Daniil Tarasov, and just making the cut, number 25, Jet Greaves. So among these two, I think that Tarasov is going to be the answer for both floor and ceiling. Over the last 2 years, we've seen that he is an NHL caliber goalie. He can handle his own. The big question for me with him, obviously, is can he stay healthy? That has been the issue for him. I think that is the thing that can hold him back. If he can stay healthy, I think he can definitely push Elvis Merzlikins for the primary goalie position. Because, again, Elvis does not have a firm grip on that. We need to see a lot more from Elvis. But Tarasov, I believe, does have the talent. But, you know, he was injured coming into his draft year or into that NHL draft. And I believe that's one reason why he fell to where he did. Some teams, I think, had that concern about he had to get a knee injury at that point. And he's never had like one particular nagging thing, but there's just been a lot of different things that he has injured over his career. But I do think that's something that he could maybe get past. I think it's just a bad luck thing. And if he can get past it, I think he could be a good goalie. And he's still very young for a goalie. Jet Greaves, on the other hand, he's been just a solid contributor in Cleveland, nothing special. He did finally get to make his NHL debut this year. Again, beyond just being the backup sitting on the bench, but he did get to start against Toronto, and he's an Ontario kid. He got to play in front of his friends and family, and he played really well. The Jackets lost the game, but it wasn't his fault. He made a lot of great saves against, some really great players like Austin Matthews. So that was a great moment for Jet Greaves, but I don't think that I don't see like regular NHL starter in his future. I think that's a little bit more of a stretch. On defense, then, we have number 14, Stanislav Svozil, number 16, Korsen Kuulemans, number 21, Samuel Knasko, number 23, Tim Burney, and number 24, Jake Christensen. So lots of defensemen here in this range. All of these guys are going to be in Cleveland for the most part, I would guess. With the exception, though, of Tim Burney, there was a news story in a Swiss publication that had a quote from his agent indicating that Burney was not going to be re-signing with Columbus. He is a restricted free agent. And the agent said that he, did still plan on playing North America. He's not giving up on his NHL dream. He's not wanting to go back to Switzerland right away. But he feels like the opportunity is not there in Columbus. And as a Jackets fan, I hate this because I liked a lot of what I saw from Tim Burney last year. He showed that he was NHL caliber defenseman. He was the one defenseman that actually made Gudbranson passable. So that's not nothing. That's actually pretty impressive. But I also understand that he is looking at who all is on the roster when healthy and what new players are coming in, and sees that it's just a very crowded pipeline for defensemen, and he's not sure where he fits in within that. And other players that were drafted higher, like Denton Mateychuk, for example, are likely to be ahead of him when they come in. So I understand that. It's a shame, but I get it. So hopefully there's able to be a resolution for that, and the Jackets can get, some sort of decent asset, probably just another late round pick for Burney. So it's too bad that he's not on here, because I think otherwise I would pick him as being the highest floor of this group, just based on what they've seen. With him gone, I would guess it would have to default to Jake Christensen, who again seems to be at least NHL caliber, probably no more than a third pair guy. When he was with Gudbranson, he was pretty bad. When he came up later and was not with Gudbranson, he was a lot better. So, he's fine. He's a depth guy, and you need guys like that, but nothing special there. The one that I'm going to put for highest ceiling is actually Stanislav Svozil. Now, why this is a little odd is that he and Korsen Kuulemans were drafted in the same draft, and Kuulemans was a late first round pick, and Svozil fell all the way to the third round. But Svozil did have a first round grade, like a late first round grade, on a lot of the rankings that I saw. And I feel like he has had a better post draft career over the last 2 years. Now, part of that is that Korsen Kuulemans was playing for the University of Wisconsin and they were really bad, whereas Svozil was playing for the Regina Pats and he got to play with Connor Bedard, which is going to make anyone look good. But I also really liked what I saw from Svozil when late in the season he got to play a couple NHL games. And he actually played in Columbus before he played in Cleveland, coming right from the WHL to the NHL and I was at his debut against Pittsburgh, and he looked really, really comfortable, way more comfortable than you would expect from, you know, a 20-year-old making his NHL debut. You know, the thing I look for to see, like, a young player gets it and they're maybe ahead of pace is knowing where to be positioned on the ice, just being in the right spot, anticipating where the play is going to go and getting there ahead of when the puck is there. He did a lot of those really subtle things. He also made a really nice pass on the power play to set up Emil Bemström's power play goal that tied the game. Svozil got the second assist on that play. So I like him a lot. Now, I think he is going to start in Cleveland. It's just, again, really crowded with guys on NHL contracts. Svozil's on an ELC. He's waiver exempt. So I think he's going to spend the year in Cleveland, but that'll be good for his continued development. But I like his game a lot. I think it's going to come down to him and Mateychuk in a couple years in terms of who is the number two left side defenseman behind Werenski. And maybe one of those guys can actually push Werenski as Werenski, you know, gets past 30. So that is something to keep an eye on. But I like Svozil a lot there among these young defensemen that are not the, you know, first round defensemen like we're going to see in the top 10 of the ranking. We will take a quick break here. And when I come back, I will go over the forwards.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We are back. Next up, the wingers that are on this list. Number 15, Emil Bemström. Number 17, Gavin Brindley. Now, Brindley was listed as a center when he was drafted, but he played mostly wing as a freshman at the University of Michigan. Given his small stature, I think it's most likely that he will be a winger at the NHL level. Number 18, James Malatesta. Number 19, Liam Foudy. Number 20, Trey Fix-Wolanski. So those are the wingers here in the 11 to 25 range of our top 25 under 25 countdown. So for the highest floor, again, I probably have to go with the guys that have the most experience. So it would be Bemström or Foudy. Foudy had a great year last year. I mean, not great relative to being a first-round pick, but great relative to the rest of his career so far. He at least showed that he could be an NHL player, and he does bring something to the bottom six. He has the size. He's gotten better physicality. He's still a lightning-fast skater, and for as much as he had struggled to score in the first few years of his pro career, you know, once he finally got his first regular season goal last year, then he was scoring at a pretty good clip. He got that confidence in him. So I would see him as being basically an Eric Robinson replacement. And that's a really useful player to have on your fourth line or your checking line or whatever. Bemström, man, it's hard to know what he is at this point. He has sometimes shown that he can be a good defensive forward. We know he's got a good shot, but he's never been able to release it consistently in the NHL like he did in Europe, whether, you know, in the Swedish league or the Finnish league or in international play. He just doesn't have the space in the NHL to release that big shot. So it's just not as useful here. But so one of those guys is probably the high floor player. For the high ceiling, honestly, any of the other three have a case to be made. Gavin Brindley is a second round pick. Some rankings had him as being a late first round guy. He is seen as a 200 foot forward, has definitely bring some offensive skill to the player. He is a guy that is a aggressive player despite being a small guy. So I think this is like, seems totally like a Columbus player. I think we're really going to love this kid. He's good friends with Adam Fantilli, which also helps. James Malatesta is another guy who is undersized, but has a lot of fight to him. He had a big year last year. He won the MVP of the Memorial Cup, where his Halifax team, you know, won the Canadian Junior Championship. And Trey Fix-Wolanski has been a really, really strong player in Cleveland the last couple of years. He was the leading scorer for the Monsters last year. And it continues a trend. When I was writing about him for his article in this series and looking at the 3 years that he spent in the WHL in Edmonton and then 3 years in the AHL in Cleveland, and in every case, each year he scores more points and you also see his penalty minutes go down. He's a guy, now he is the smallest of all of these small guys. He's very tiny, and that's a limiting factor for him, but he's not afraid. He's a fearless player, and he does have this scoring touch and can score, I think, from a bottom six role if put into that role consistently in the NHL. But there's just so much competition for the bottom six. It's hard to know where he fits in there, but you have to like the trend that he has shown throughout his career. So there are a lot of really intriguing winger options here. Again, none of these guys are going to be your top six type wingers, but these are guys that can score from the bottom six. And again, that will help the team be a contender when they've got scoring depth. And finally, the centers, number 12, Luka Delbel-Belouz, number 13, Dmitry Voronkov, and number 22, Hunter McCown. For the floor here, I'm going to go with Voronkov just because he has the most professional experience. He's been playing in the KHL. He has been a solid player there. The most interesting thing is in 2021 and 2023 in the playoffs, his scoring really went up. So that's a sign that this is a guy that can score, but I think he is seen as a bottom six center type in the NHL. And I think he's going to be able to have a more immediate impact. I think we'll see him in Columbus by December, and I think he'll be able to have an impact because he has that pro experience. I mean, just like Marchenko came in and needed a few months in Cleveland, but once he got to Columbus, he wasn't going back. And all of that time in the KHL gave him that experience playing against men that he needed. So I think Voronkov's got the low floor there. Delbel-Belouz, I think, has the ceiling. There's a lot of prospect writers who really like his game. I think that he can light a fire under Cole Sillinger. And assuming that Adam Fantilli can take the number one center position, I like the idea of Sillinger and Delbel-Belouz duking it out for the second line center position. And then maybe the, you know, whoever doesn't get that can be the third line center. And if Fantilli, Sillinger, Delbel-Belouz is your center depth, and then like Voronkov maybe is the fourth line guy once Corrali moves on, like that's a center depth that you can really feel good about. But I do have to give props to Hunter McCown. He was a free agent that we signed out of college when his season there ended. He played about a dozen games for Columbus at the end of the season. And I liked what I saw. I was at his debut. And again, like Svozil, this is a guy that did not look overwhelmed by the moment. He looked like he belonged. But then I was at the penultimate game. And so this was, you know, almost a month later. And I could see, oh, wow, his game has grown a lot. This is a guy that put in the work, learned a lot, was getting better just in a period of a few weeks. Now, again, there's not room for him in Columbus. I think he's going to spend most of the year in Cleveland, but I love the idea of him working with Mark Letestu, because if Hunter McCown can become another Mark Letestu type player, and he's bigger than Letestu as well, that would be amazing for this team to have. So all three of these centers, I think, have huge potential in Columbus. So even if one of these has to move over to wing, it's a nice thing to have. And it's nice to know that if one of the top centers goes down with injury, which happens, and given our franchise history, it's going to happen. Nice to have one of these guys available then that can maybe slide into one of these roles, or everyone can move up a spot and the team will not be hurt as much. That's a great resource to have, I think. So that is my view on these players that were ranked 11 to 25 by our readers and our listeners and our writers. As I said, number 11 is going up on Tuesday. And then starting on Wednesday, we're getting into the top 10. So this countdown is getting down to the final names, the final weeks. I think you can probably guess which players are in the top 10 at this point based on who I listed and who I didn't. The order, though, I don't know, there might be some surprises in here. So hopefully you enjoy seeing how this shakes out. And as this goes on, too, we'll talk about the top 10. And there's going to be a lot more to talk about with these players, obviously. And these ones are going to have big impact this season for the Jackets, which I'm really excited about. So that will do it for us this week. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support as always. Again, check out jacketscanon.com for all of our written content. Go to contest.fansfirstsports.com to sign up for the NFL ticket raffle. And you can also check out fansfirstsports.com to find all of the podcasts that they have across the sports. They've got about, 21 NFL podcasts. They've got college football. They've got baseball. They've got soccer. They've got some written content on there as well for some of those teams. So there's a lot of great work going around all across that podcast network. So that's really cool. So again, thank you for support. Thanks for listening. And we will catch you next time. For more content from the Cannon, check out jacketscannon.com or follow us on Twitter at CBJCannon. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Pearley and the Howlin' Moons. Angela's new album, Turn Me Loose, is out now. Go to angelapearley.com for more music and show dates.